In December 2017, I started my first interaction with Svaru and the Taygetan Pleiadian team. It has been a written, direct, live communication using internet. We also had the audio a few times with the Taygetan pilot Dor Kalel. With several breaks, it has been ongoing and taking up countless hours, almost daily. Before I came in contact with them, I was a regular spiritual seeker and ET believer, having normal occupations and jobs, and dreaming of one day being able to meet some of the extraterrestrials personally. At the same time, more and more bored with ordinary life tasks and conversations, as if making mind space for something that was coming ahead. In a way, I was always this way though, so being a loner is not the result of this experience only, although the extraterrestrial contact definitely increased that.
Nie lubiła tracić czasu na pierdoły takie. To znaczy, przyjechała do Elbląga, do Polski. Gosia, chodź, umówmy się na kawę. Przychodzi do domu. Jaką kawę? Kawę, kawę. Pyta, a gdzie mieszkasz? A ja tu, a ty tu, a to fajnie. No i co robisz? A to, a ja to. Też fajnie, no popatrz. To ile lat już minęło? A tyle, no popatrz, jak czas leci. I taka gadka, Gosia tak cytuje, Gosia. No. I taka gadka szmatka nic nie wnosi, na żadne kawy nigdzie nie chodziła. Dla niej to była strata czasu, nic to nie wnosiło. Nie lubiła spotykać się z ludźmi, którzy nie mają nic ciekawego do powiedzenia, tylko powielają jakby utarte, banalne zdania.
Skromna, nieśmiała, o dziwne, o dziwo, ale zarazem właśnie taka niezależna, wiedziała czego chce i potrafiła być asertywna. Nie ulegała tak jakimś tam namowom, nastrojom, kaprysom innych. No jakby czuła, wiedziała czego chce. Ponadto samotność ją nigdy nie przerażała, jako dziecko lubiła być samotna, nigdy i jako później, i później również też. Co to znaczy? To znaczy nigdy się nie nudziła. Nuda jej była obca, ona zawsze sobie znalazła coś do zrobienia.
For a long time I felt quite useless walking around the streets. I worked in a real estate, for example, and I felt very useless. I remember waking up in the morning and thinking, what am I doing? I'm not contributing anything. I'm not giving of myself as I feel I could and even should to the human race. In a way, I feel like could do something to help. I didn't feel satisfied with that explanation that just to be here is enough. I felt I had to do something more, and I was working in a real estate. I remember walking around the streets, and I was trying to connect with some beings. I didn't know anything, not much at that point, about Pleiadians or Taygetans. I was just sending out a message and asking, please use me. I remember those words, use me, use me, use me, use me, put me to use. I want to be of use to the cause. I felt useless. Now I just can't believe that this calling has been heard in a way, and that it has been fulfilled to the extent that I have never even imagined it could be fulfilled. That I, in a way, not officially, of course, there are no representatives of any race on Earth, but in a way, I'm one of the representatives of the Taygetan race here on Earth, their feet on the ground, and their link with the humans, the entire civilization, the Taygetan civilization, is now, in a way, being explained to the public, to the humans, through my work. And through Robert's work and through a few other people's work. It's, I don't have words to describe this feeling. I mean, when you just think about it, in your hands, there is this immense work to represent the message of another race told another race. It's just too much sometimes. I think I can't believe that I'm the one doing that. You know, many times I ask myself when I heard stories of people being contacted, and I was asking myself, why them? What do they have that I don't? Why can they talk to the ETs or other beings and see UFOs and I can't? And believe me, now I'm asking myself completely the opposite question. Not why not me, but why me? Why me? Because the extent to which this has manifested is just so much more, million times more than I ever imagined. The responsibility is huge. I have in my hands the responsibility and the job and the pressure to do it right. The pressure mostly from myself to do it right and to deliver the message and the information in a proper way without distorting anything, and just portraying them in a correct way. It's a very difficult task, especially because there's so many misinterpretations and manipulations already in place in the society about how the extraterrestrials and how the Pleiadians are. So the responsibility is huge, the weight. And even though it feels amazing and fascinating and I'm so happy, at the same time, I do feel the weight to do it right. To do it right for them, but also to do it right so then when I go back, I don't feel disappointed with myself doing this task, because I truly believe it is the job that I came here to do, if not others, which I'm not aware of exactly at this point. I really hope I'm doing I know I'm doing the best I can, but I really hope that best that I'm doing is enough, and that I can, that I am contributing to the cause. And I hope I won't be disappointed with myself when I finally wake up from my immersion chamber, or even if I don't wake up, because actually, if I go to the show, well, that's another story.
Before us sharing this information and starting this work, and something not many people know, Zvaru wasn't sure if it's necessary at that time to give it to the public. She and they never asked us to, and she was even skeptical about the idea at first. And it caused me quite a discomfort, as I really wanted to. You can see this here, in these private recordings, which I didn't think I would publish.
It's 18 January yesterday, and today I felt very disturbed and sad and a little depressed, angry, frustrated. After talking with S, and she told us that the disclosure is not necessary, that the more information will just confuse. So I feel frustrated because I'm really ready for us to be launched into this new phase of the interstellar civilization. And I wasn't sure what she means by that disclosure is not necessary. I felt like, okay, all our efforts of sharing the information and telling people about this is not necessary. So I felt very sad, and like I didn't know exactly what, so what's my role here? What am I doing here on this planet? So just take me out. Just really, it's so hard to be every day surrounded by the ignorance and people who don't believe this and people who are not living their life like nothing. And having these experiences with them, actually now, it's made it even worse for me, because now I'm like really face to face, almost, not yet, with that reality, and being given this knowledge and this information about what's happening, and I can't share it or extend it to others or involve them in this reality so they can participate. So I was very frustrated, and I feel like, you know, why can't we have the disclosure? And, you know, they were explaining different reasons why it's unnecessary. of which I cannot speak right now, but it's just not necessary at this point, as it is done already. So disclosure through the official ways is not necessary. It doesn't mean that sharing the information is not necessary. They are here. They are communicating with people already as it is. But I will feel frustrated because it's like we share this just among ourselves, like this soup of awakened people who already know this and they talk to one another. And we need to extend this to the masses. And how can we extend this to the masses? If not through the official announcements, and but the official announcement cannot be done through the channels which are manipulated and distorted. So it has to be done in a different way and in different phases. So I feel a bit better, but I felt frustrated and didn't know what my role in this is, my position. I want to be able to share this. This information is not for me. I feel like it's wasted time if it's just me receiving this information. So it cannot just end with me. I didn't come here to share this. It has to be shared. It has to be spread around. I like to be productive. I like to be mission oriented. That's why I came. I wouldn't have come if the goal was just for me to have these interactions. I mean, I knew these things before I came. So why did I come? Just to relearn this again? That makes no sense. So we are. So I hope that we will put some plan in place. So all these interactions that I have with them can be shared with the people. The amount of information that is authorized to be shared. Otherwise, it just separates me from the people even more, knowing that this is happening and they have no idea, living their ordinary lives. It's important to share our own wisdom also, because we are the ones from the stars. So we don't have to wait for the information, specifics of the information given from them. We already have this in many ways within ourselves. And I'm especially talking about the star seed and those who came here voluntarily to help with the transition. So I'm trying to figure this all out and see how I can move forward in the best way possible. Hey, and this is my doggy. Hey, Coquechu. So that's it for today.
This was my last private recording. Soon after, few months later to be more specific, with the authorization of Svaru, we finally started to share our experience and information with the world, and our lives changed forever. We had no idea how it was going to be received, but we knew it's something we had to do, and that the knowledge is too valuable not to be passed on. We were very nervous about the reactions, but also extremely excited and simply overjoyed to finally tell everyone in our channels. I finally started to feel like I am fulfilling my higher purpose beyond just gathering Earth experience and helping by just being here. Since that time, between me and Robert and both Spanish and English channels, we accumulated about 1,000 videos, if not more.
There is a saying that you didn't come into this world to fit into this world, but to create a new one. And now more than ever, that's what I feel. I never fitted in this world, in this society. And now I completely understand why. The thing is that I feel I'm not really there yet with the new one, especially not consciously. I don't have memory of it, and I'm not with the old one anymore either. I feel in between, and that in between phase and stage feels quite strange, because you feel detached from the old world, the people in it, but you are not fully there yet in the new one with them. So it does feel strange, and it gets very lonely inside, that feeling of of not belonging to any place really, and not having a true identity of belonging to one world, which in itself is an identity, as actually Dor Kaleli once said, because he belongs to so many places and timelines and dimensions, and he doesn't really know where he belongs to. He just is, and that state of not feeling any specific identity has become his identity. And in a way, that's how I feel. But it does create a sense of inner desolation and inner loneliness. Yeah, like no one truly, truly sees you or understands you or perceives you. Because the old world people don't really. Even the ones who follow this story, I feel this way even with them. And also, I must say, that our Tekkidun friends don't always understand us either with everything. And of course, it's impossible for them to understand everything that we are going through exactly. Like for example, two things here to comment. Like, for example, sometimes I don't think they fully understand the fascination that we have with all this. It's impossible for them to be in our shoes, in our position, see this through our eyes and how it feels and why we are so fascinated. They don't understand our fascination sometimes, I believe, because, you know, that's life for them, what they are going through, and it's just normal everyday procedures, but we are so fascinated to hear this, and it's quite overwhelming, everything that's been happening with them, while for them it's just everyday life. I remember there was a situation when they were not sure if we truly feel affected emotionally, if they disappear, for example, or if something happens and they are not around. See, that's exactly when I feel sometimes they don't truly understand sometimes. And this is the message to all of you other races, so you can understand. All this affects us deeply, tremendously, emotionally. It's the most important thing in our life. However, we are still here. And we need to continue and live our life. This means that once you disappear, if you disappear for a few days, for weeks or months, we can't fall into the anxieties or depressions and the lower states of mind. We have always been prepared that anything can happen. This contact is quite solid, but at the same time, anything can happen at any moment, and we were told this from the very beginning. So we can't go into the weak state of mind and just feel crushed when something happens. We are only prepared mentally when anything can happen. We need to be strong. And now we need to be strong for ourselves. For ourselves, we need to also be strong for the people, for the public. And we, you know, we need to show strength, happiness, joy, determination, and that we are okay. High frequency needs to be maintained, and it's not something that we have to, but I feel I have to. It's something I am. It's one of the tasks I'm here for. So I can't be depressed. I can't fall into anger or strong feelings of despair if our contact terminates temporarily, for example. And it doesn't mean that we are not emotionally involved and that it doesn't affect us. It does, deeply. So we have to be strong for ourselves so we simply don't lose our sanity. We can't go insane because we are still here. We are still down here and we need to continue our life, whatever happens. And then we need to be strong for the public. And also we need to be strong for you, our Ma, our Tekkidun friends. we need to show you that our life is okay, and then we can continue. Because remember, you, I'm talking now to them, Tibetans, if they listen, you were always worried about interfering too much with people's life, affecting people's life too much, changing people's lives. So we wanted to show you, and we just always want to show you that we are okay, and our life continues, because that's the only option we have. It cannot not continue. We cannot commit suicide and just fall on the floor. And we can do that, and we won't, because we trust you. We trust this, and we trust this whole process. We trust this communication, even when it disappears for some time. We have a full trust in our Tibetan team, and we know they know what they are doing. I remember this situation occurred when they didn't understand exactly our emotional level of involvement. And I had to explain this, and it even hurt me. Like, honestly, it hurt me that it was questioned. Because this is the most important thing for me in my life. This is who I am. You are me, my Tibetan friends. So I cannot be not emotionally affected, but I'm still here. I'm still down here. And I need to be okay with whatever happens. I need to accept whatever happens. I trust you. I remember it hurt me because I wanted to show that I'm strong to myself, to the public, to you. And then I was questioned, not having emotions, where, yeah. So it's a very thin line sometimes between showing them that we care and that we love them and that we get affected when something happens, like if they disappear. That and not showing overt obsession about this contact, because that's also a problem and has been a problem to them with many contactees, that they were getting too obsessed. So it's a very thin line here, showing them that we care, but not obsessing about them at the same time.
Yes, showing that we care, but not obsessing. And honestly, that's not always easy, because they are always so exciting and full of new alluring stories and adventures. And as you will see in the next segment, my life was not too thrilling in its first half. I will now take you to my hometown in Poland, where I will talk a bit about how this experience affects mentally and emotionally my relationship with my older self, my family, and my past. It's an important part, because having an extraterrestrial contact and being exposed to an expanded worldview does remove one from the old perceptions of self and from old memories. This contact opens me up and centers me more in my new identity, brings me back my beyond Earth identity, and I finally feel more at home with who I am. But it also feels like I need to operate within many past ones at the same time. Zvaru once told me, "Integrate them all, Gosha. They are all you." However, the old identities, not sure they really belong to me, do they? I was born in a small city in Poland, Elbląg. My family still living there. I spent there first 22 years of my life, after which I left, first to the USA, in search of what I felt something that was awaiting me in the outside world. An unknown discovery meant to be revealed. This is Elbląg, the town where I was born and grew up. This is my primary musical school, where I spent 8 years, where I learned to play the piano. The days were mostly bleak and uneventful. My life was simple. My parents, both teachers in schools, and me, being a shy and very modest kid, never standing out from the crowd. A good girl.
Tak, w szkole była nieśmiała i nawet mogłabym powiedzieć taka pelasiowata.
Taka a co, to znaczy, co to znaczy pelasia?
Taka pelasia, czyli taka święta, nieśmiała, cichutka, skromniutka, z niczym się nie wyłamująca, nie daj Boże. I jak rozmawiam z jej koleżankami czy kolegami ze szkoły średniej czy ze szkoły muzycznej, których spotykam i opowiadam o jej wyczynach, to... w świecie, no coś takiego, kto by pomyślał, taka Gosia, taka nieśmiała, ona nie istniała w klasie, ona w klasie nie istniała, ona była sama ze sobą, taka właśnie pelasia.
Yes, this is my school, my primary musical school. This is where I spent 8 years. I used to be very, very, very shy and not fitting in and kind of a social outcast, which in a way I still am, but I guess I am strong now in that identity and don't feel bad about it. One of the things that this contact has taught me is that being immersed in being a starseed, immersed from 5D, it's very possible, it's actually quite possible, if not it is that way, that your memories from your childhood could be a part of the program. So as I'm walking around the streets, I wonder how much of my childhood memories are the program, and what is it that I really lived. So it creates a strange separation. A strange separation in my identity. A very, very, very strange feeling, indeed. In fact, already before I found out about the immersion program and the memories being a program, I already felt here strange. Every time I came here, I felt as if there are two me's. The me from before, but it's not even me, it's like a memory of myself. But that memory, I felt, doesn't necessarily pertain to me. It's kind of a downloaded memory of myself. So I'm walking within a memory of myself that I don't know to what extent is myself and what is an inserted memory. So now with this immersion program, it confirms my feelings. But it's nevertheless, it's a very strange feeling. It's a very strange feeling because I'm here. I'm looking at my school. It's right there behind me. Was I really there? Did I attend that school? Where is that memory from? Why does it feel like it doesn't belong to this self? It's a strange feeling, and it causes me the great separation. The abyss of separation between myself and the people from my past here, like my family, for example. I know I belong to them, I have a memory of that, but that memory, I'm not sure where it came from.
No to, co ja mogę powiedzieć, co ma związek z dzisiejszą Gosią naszą, to baśnie. Jedno wielkie hasło baśni. Baśń kojarzy się zawsze z małymi dziećmi. Otóż moja córcia z baśnią pod pachę, pod rękę, za pan brat, żyła do późnych lat szkoły średniej. I proszę sobie Państwo
wyobrazić. Szkoły średniej?
Sobie tak. W szkole średniej jako nastolatka umiała, no lubiła, to już nie poświęcała tym baśniom tyle czasu, co jako młodsza, bo miała nauki dużo i grała, ale poświęcała dużo czasu stosunkowo jako nastolatka, 17-18 lat, leżała na wersalce z baśniami i czytała na głos. Na głos. Ona była po prostu w tym świecie. Sama, ja otwieram drzwi, ona gada do siebie. Czyta na głos 18-latka baśnie. jest w świecie bajkowym, w świecie zaczarowanym.
Przesada.
Tak, w świecie innym. Ona była zawsze w innym świecie. To nie była przesada, właśnie na to zwracałam uwagę. Nie jako dziecko, czyli to nie jest złe, to nie jest złe, to jest bardzo cenne. Ja rozmawiałam z wieloma ludźmi i oni opowiadali, że jest to o rozwój wyobraźni, jest bardzo mądrą sprawą i daje jakieś tam idee, pomysły, nowe spojrzenie na życie, właśnie to jest ważne, na świat, bo baśń odrywała jej od tej rzeczywistości takiej normalnie namacalnej, umownej, ustalonej jakby już przez ludzi, przez społeczeństwo, czyli okay. Coś nowego szukała, szukała czegoś nowego.
She was looking for something new. I guess I was. Always going beyond, looking for a different world, different realm, subconsciously knowing there is something else still that we are not seeing, something else in our souls that we are not recognizing, looking for the sense of self beyond the 3D one that I always felt was there, but with no direct access to it, making me feel puzzled about who I felt I was as a person. Many times I found myself staring at the mirror, asking intently, "Who are you? I know you are something else than Gosha." And to my relief, bewilderment, total fascination and inner liberation, thanks to my experience with the Taygetans, I was given clues and then answers.
But the most important reason why this contact is so special to me is the fact that basically I was revealed my stellar origin, even though the absolute origin is the source itself. And we have had many incarnations and many experiences. We don't just pertain to one specific place. However, in this context of this journey of my soul, my stellar roots, so to speak, are Taygetan. I was explained that I do come from Taygeta and that I am a Taygetan starseed. They even found my number because they have 2,000 females that have incarnated and 500 males. My number is 1007. Being said, you can just imagine what it does to the awakening person who has always, in a way, knew and perceived himself or herself as someone from outside this place. It's just an unbelievable confirmation and the relief, and it offers just a great piece of puzzle coming together. Whereas before, the pieces were just scattered all over the place and I had feelings that I couldn't understand, and now it just all makes sense. So it really helps to be explained that way, what race you belong to, even though they claim normally it's not supposed to be this way. It's not supposed to be this way because we are supposed to be living here our human experience. However, I don't know, in my case, it really meant and means so much. It expands and liberates me. It explains me to me. The strange feelings that I always had, in a way I have always felt I am not from here, that I am someone. Well, actually, before I didn't even know about the extraterrestrials, so no, I didn't know that I'm not from here. But I had strange memories that now I understand them to be memories. Like, for example, and I have this in my diary so I can show you, when I was 20 years old, I drew a circle in my diary around the earth, and I drew beings residing in that other circle. I didn't understand who they were and what this means, but I felt like those beings in that other circle around the earth, which now I understand to be 5D, those beings were calling me and telling me I don't belong with the people who are living inside the circle on earth, but with them. And I had no idea what this meant, but that's how it felt to me. And I drew this in my diary. Another only memory that I have was that when I was about 18, I saw myself circling in some kind of a spaceship or a plane, circling the Earth in the orbit. I could see the Earth through the window, quite big, and I was operating the buttons and the controls, and there were a lot of controls. There were big windows. I could stand up. There were other people, but not many, few people in that area. It was a small plane, or that area was not so big, and I was communicating with someone. I remember communication, like, you know, tower control communication or something like that, and I was participating in big operations. Important operations were happening, and I interpreted this as some kind of a desire to work for some kind of special operations. So I actually tried to get into FBI. I was thinking maybe I should work for NATO for a while, because I felt that's my destiny based on that feeling. But now I understand it was the memory. I was there and I was doing exactly that. I was told in the small spaceship full of operating buttons, controls. And now when we talk to Kalel, Tigetan pilot, and he connects and through from that area, when he did the audio with us, he was connecting from that kind of area and communicating with us. It's just mind-boggling. I cannot still believe this is happening. So it all makes sense to me now. So thank you very much for revealing my identity. And it is incredible to think that it's them that I found them, that they found me. I don't know, mutual discovery, and that it is them, those beings that I was always yearning for to reconnect with. Then when I discovered the extraterrestrials, in general, the topic of extraterrestrials, I knew, okay, that's for sure them. Yes, I'm not from here. Before it was very vague, and now it's just, I can't believe it's them. I can't believe the moment arrived. And I have to talk low because I'm actually in a hostel and the walls are thin. I can't believe it's them. Even after 2 years, it's just so intense to think about.
Before I go on, let me share with you part of the song I listened to, calling out for my unknown family or friends out there for so long, for so many years. Each time I listened to it, I thought of them. I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere.
Well, this was my park where I used to come with my dogs just behind our flat, and I used to spend here quite a lot of time, especially with my dog, between when I was 15 and 22, and even earlier than that. As you can see, the weather is quite dull. This is December, gray, no sun. It's very, very rarely the sun comes out in the winter time. Looking around and just remembering how I used to feel coming here, melancholic and just yearning for something unidentifiable. I still have no idea what it was at that time. Now I compare it to my life right now and the intensity and the adventures of my life at this moment. I would have never, ever, ever imagined, never, that my life would turn this way. I mean, when I'm here, it's kind of like I connect with the older version of myself in that point of attention of my older self. And I see this current moment through that other point of attention in the past. And, oh, it's raining a little bit, I have to be careful. And it's just unbelievable. It's a completely different parallel, even, I would say, existence that manifested itself. Very strange. Very, very, very strange. But unbelievably exciting. I would have never ever imagined walking my dog around like this person here at the back. I'm not sure you can see it. That 30 years in the future, I would be having this experience that I have now. Wow. I don't know why, but I always like this little rock here. When I was living here, I didn't know yet about the existence of the extraterrestrial, so life outside of this planet. I was still quite Catholic, going to church every day, every week. Although I was already questioning things and being interested in religious and spiritual stuff, even though, of course, there is a difference between religion and spirituality, but I was still exploring both. Well, not much exploring still yet, but I was already asking questions. But I still didn't know anything about other movements outside of Christianity and extraterrestrials. But I already felt a lot of nostalgia. And I think this climate also activates and ignites more of nostalgic feelings. It just invites one to contemplate something else.
Ona się interesowała, była bardzo taka uduchowioną osobą. To w sensie takim, że interesowała ją ogólnie duchowość. Duchowość, szeroko pojęta, ale na tym etapie jeszcze wtedy to religijność. Różne religie i różne aspekty tych religii. Go się interesowało interpretacja różnych zjawisk, różnych pojęć religijnych, a dlaczego to tak, dlaczego to owak. No, muszę przyznać, nie wiem czy to dobrze czy źle, więc nie chwalę ani nie ganię, ale muszę przyznać, że to było rzadko w tym wieku w takiej formie, jak ona to robiła. Bo na przykład znajoma mi opowiadała, że słuchaj, widziałam dzisiaj gościa, stała z facetem w tramwaju przy oknie, jadą, tramwaj jedzie, pełen ludzi, a oni rozmawiają, wiesz, o czym? Dyskutują o jakichś religiach, o jakimś pojęciu religijnym bardzo głębokim, filozoficzno-religijnym takim szerokim pojęciu.
I ona to usłyszała?
Tak, w tramwaju. I ona to słyszała, podsłuchiwała i mówi, Gosia tak, na takie tematy rozmawiała w tramwaju pełnym ludzi na tematy filozofii i religii. I inny taki przypadek, który już można by było uznać jako takie światełko w jej drodze, to ja otwieram zeszyt, w ogólniaku była. Otwieram kiedyś jej zeszyt, a tutaj z języka polskiego bodaj, a tu są kartki, takie kartki, wyobraźcie sobie, ona pisze na ten sam temat, który poruszyła z tym chłopakiem, w tej samej sferze, w tramwaju, z jakimś chłopakiem sobie pisze, bo jej nudna lekcja,
nudna lekcja i oni wymieniali się kartkami i była dyskusja na temat jakiś filozoficzno-religijny, bo była nudna lekcja.
Nie było zainteresowań z twojej strony, powiedzmy sobie, tym, co na przykład ojciec żył, czyli czym ja żyłem, czy sprawami społecznymi, ustrojowymi, zmianą sytuacji politycznej w Polsce, społecznej i tak dalej.
A propos tego, że ojciec mówi, że nie była zainteresowana takimi sprawami polityczno-społecznymi, no właśnie, bo to się jakoś w tym wszystkim chyba mieści, że te sprawy ludzi tutaj nie miały większego znaczenia, bo ją ciągnęło gdzieś na jakieś surrealistyczne, jakieś idealistyczne, surrealistyczne, filozoficzne sprawy. Gdzieś szukała czegoś więcej, czegoś ponad. To się wszystko jakby logicznie w całość jakoś tam się układa.
Now let me show you some spots here. Okay, actually this is where I lived. I'm going to show you where I lived. First, I'm going to show you where I lived when I was between 15 and 22. And then we'll go to other place where we lived when I was a child. Okay? Here, I lived in this one here. In this block of apartments. It's a strange feeling to come here and connect with what I was before. Now, knowing that even before that, I was something else. And having that revealed to me right now. So coming here, connecting with what I was before, now with the added on knowledge of what I was still even prior to that, I'm talking about my Taigeten connection. Before, this building used to be white, all white, they painted it. This was my room here. This was my room. This was my brother's room. Now this is the church that I used to come to, that I used to go to all my life, every Sunday.
Here I lived 15 years, from 1 year old to 15 years old, in this tall building on the 6th floor. I lived in many places after that, currently in Finland, and traveling and exploring is one of my greatest passions. I hope and I know that in the future I will continue to explore places outside this planet.
Były jakieś imieniny Gosi i poszedłeś do Małgosi i zapytać się, co ona wybiera. Czy książkę, taką fajny album geograficzny o świecie, pełen kolorowych zdjęć, czy jakiś ładny wisiorek, bo masz dla niej ładny wisiorek na oku. I byłeś przekonany, że ona wybierze ten wisiorek, no kobietka, mała kobietka. I poszedłeś się zapytać jej. Ona na to... Oczywiście książkę, bez zastanowienia, bez żadnego momentu zawahania. Tak, książkę z obrazkami, ze zdjęciami.
Ja się wydawało, że będzie to jakaś solidna pamiątka i trochę i kosztowna była nawet, bo ten wisiorek trochę kosztował.
No dużo więcej niż ta książka.
Ja tutaj przychodzę, jak gdyby nigdy nic, tu wisiorek, opakowanie. A ja przychodzę do pokoju, do niej tam, nie miała ochoty
na jakieś wisiory,
która tak jak każda nastolatka, przyozdobić. Ja myślałem, że ona się przyozdobi. Ja coś kupuję, pieniążki płacę, a ona mi tu przynosi mi, że najbardziej jej się podoba encyklopedia dużych
geograficzna
dużych rozmiarów. No i już się, nie mogła się z nią rozstać, tą całą encyklopedią. No.
A potem jeszcze mnie wołała do swojego pokoju, popatrz tutaj, tu na tym zdjęciu, tutaj bym chciała być. A tu jeszcze popatrz, a tu mają takie czerwone skały. Widziałaś coś takiego w życiu? No jak czerwone, ja nie mogę. Tatuś, tatuś, tatuś. I nie mogę, od rana do nocy chodziła z tą książką i wyłapywała te zdjęcia. No. I przeżywała.
Nie było ciebie przez parę.
Nie, ona już się przeniosła wirtualnie te wszystkie regiony odległego świata. Nie? I skakała z jednego regionu do drugiego i to była jej pierwsza wirtualna taka podróż.
Personally, and perhaps strangely, that's not the hard part for me in general. I am so focused on my work that I barely have time to see what is being said about us and our work. And if I do, it means nothing to me, as we knew from the beginning this would happen. The Matrix would react to defend itself. We were warned about it by our Tegetan friends before we started. I know what I must do. I believe in it wholeheartedly, and there is absolutely nothing that can pull me away from it or dishearten me. It doesn't matter if people don't believe me, or ridicule me, or blatantly attack me. All I must do is to fulfill my task of delivering the information. I am at peace with myself. After that, I am not in much control of what happens next. If there is a blatant attack on us, I will speak up. But apart from that, it all washes off of me pretty easy. If anything, I would say it's a general psychological toll I might feel at times, with many factors at once. And people don't always understand it, I think. Because yes, sometimes it does feel a bit overwhelming. With hours spent online, with them and making videos, with the sense of responsibility to do the videos right and deliver this to people, receiving mind-blowing information, some of it not for the public, but then having to process it all by ourselves, some of it quite personal. Surrounded by attacks, trolls, Matrix defenders, families who don't understand, friends who support you and then undermine your work. Friends who don't even know about your work. No one truly understanding what you are going through in detail. People insisting to have their messages answered. People inventing stories and interpretations about you, questioning your integrity. And having to keep pushing it all aside, marching on, trying to maintain yourself as a fortress amidst it all. And on top of that, sometimes having to walk on eggshells around all of it, not daring to react with impatience or frustration under some comments in YouTube or in some situation, because right away we might get judged for having low frequency, as if because of this contact we were not ordinary people but saints with no right to express tiredness or weakness or frustration. 2.5 years ago, we were just Robert and Gosha, to whom this suddenly happened, turning our lives around. We do our best to transmit this experience and the information, but we do get tired and frustrated. We are just people. It takes a lot of mental strength to maintain this kind of experience, especially when you are doing it in the public eye. Yes, it's not easy to be in the middle in this project, between humans and extraterrestrials. Sometimes it gets hard when our Tegetan friends share their frustration about the human affairs. And then, on the other hand, humans not always understand the extraterrestrial perspective. Sometimes, during our chats with them, me insisting on certain questions for the sake of deeper human understanding may make Tegetans feel I question them. But then, on the other hand, I get so fiercely protective of them and how they are perceived and understood by the humans. It's not always a relaxing spot to love both sides and understand the feelings of both. Having said that, each time I see people commenting how this information changed their life, I feel so moved with deep satisfaction that goes to the core of my being, of having realized something I have always had only a distant vision of helping people move out of the matrix and helping them, the true essence within, feel free. That's why, and only why, it is all worth it.
Sometimes when I stop to think about all of this that's happening and all their stories and what they've been telling us and how life is up there and what it means for us and for humanity and for our personal future perhaps, I sometimes wonder if this is a dream. Like seriously, sometimes me and Robert, like jokingly of course, because we know we are not dreaming, but sometimes we do ask ourselves, are we dreaming? Are we inside of a dream? Because when you dream, you don't know you are dreaming either. So sometimes I just have to ask, because it seems too amazing to be true. It's just too unbelievable to be true, too beautiful. But then as soon as I start to think like this, I realize that it is a 3D. The 3D matrix that makes us think that anything outside of itself has to be a dream, has to be not real. They don't always understand why we really, really think that what they are telling us and their existence, their life and their reality is like a dream to us. Everything that we are living with them, like a dream. Like they, for them it's such a mundane life and everyday existence and ordinary things on the ship, because they are in 5D and 5D for them is real, and 3D is a dream, it's the reverse. It is more real than living here. It's just that the matrix has us so deeply programmed and conditioned to dismiss any of that reality that our mind sometimes automatically goes into this, oh, it must be a dream mode. But still, to think that what I'm living right now is real, is just, it gives me chills each time I stop to think about it really deeply. They also worry sometimes, and they don't like the aspect of interfering and destroying people's lives sometimes. And they are aware of the fact that they do interfere with the life of the contacted people just by the mere presence, just by showing them different aspects, new aspects of their reality. And to this, I will say this. You haven't destroyed my reality.
You did not destroy my life, Svaru, and my target and friends. You gave it back to me. What was destroyed was its previous sense of understanding, or rather, its lack of more profound understanding. You revived me to higher awareness, to my true, more authentic self. My old sense of life, in a way, was destroyed. But I don't see it as destruction. I see it as having transformed into something more expansive, more integrated, much vaster and multidimensional. Integrating the previous me and life as one step in the process of the overall journey of my soul. And the journey, it truly has been. What I have learned from you, and especially from you, Svaru, Yazi, in the last 2.5 years crushed my normal interaction with the reality surrounding me. It made me even more of an outcast and solitary. But I have always been that way. My being feels so much larger and fluid, like water, without clear boundaries between perception of physicality and realms beyond. And as you said, Svaru, once, if something defines us, is precisely that, not having boundaries or limits. We truly are the ones who are creating it all. The experience of this contact is awakening and solidifying old soul allegiances that I have always been feeling within, making me understand them. And the strength with which I carry on with this work is founded on that allegiance. It's what I feel is driving me forward. I feel so grateful and mind blown about discovering the source of that nagging sensation I had all my life of not understanding who I was, knowing that I was something other than Gosha, and amazed that I was found. Through this experience, I am learning to be more and more scalar, multi-density. And it's a challenge to be scalar within the world that officially operates only on one level. But Svaru, you are evolving, and I feel I am evolving with you. As you said, being scalar is being lined up with the flow of the universe, and it is how I feel. Suffering with people in 3D, understanding and fighting as a 5D Taigetan, and accepting and integrating it all as a 7D and 9D being. I am extremely grateful for this experience with you, Svaru Yazi, Aneka, and my Taigetan friends, for your teachings, for your trust, and ongoing friendship. My life feels like the greatest adventure ever with you in it, and I would not change it for anything else. And Svaru, Yazi, you are my closest friend. I thank you for your emotions, openness, for your nostalgias and intimacy, for complexity and simplicity, for twists and turns, and for entrusting me and us. I love you all very much. Thank you again.